about the book. So now, Victoria, that's a great lead-in. I don't know what your question is for the Pop Oracle, but, you know, it's what, I mean, we're not creating a religion here with Radio 8 Ball or with Sync, but I think that we're reaching towards, well, maybe some of us are. But we are reaching towards the sacred through the profane in a way that I think is resonates with what you're talking about. What's your, and I'm very curious to hear what your question is for the Pop Oracle.
Well, I've been going back and forth on this and sort of listening to everybody else's questions. And at my first, and then you had said something about, well, make it around the book and try as I might. I can tell you guys here, once you write a book like this, then everybody wants you to talk about it, and I am so sick of vampires. I've been writing 3 different lectures on vampires. I thought, I don't want to ask anything about that.
Great. You don't have to. Okay. You really don't have to. I was only thinking that because I was thinking maybe you might not get, but your talk on your book, your short thing on your book was so great. So whatever your real question is, we're...
Okay. Well, I'll give you the first draft, and then and then I'll give you the second draft, because I'm a writer. I'm a writer and a teacher, and that's how we do it. The first draft was: will I still be living in the United States in 3 or 4 years? And then I thought, no. And someone made a great remark, or several people said, you know, this is all really about where you are right now in the present moment, not the future, but the little shifting under the surface and the little ball bearings down there or whatever, all the wonderful little things that make an event into a synchronous event. So I just thought that I would ask, where am I right now?
Where are you right now? Pick a card, any card from the Radio 8 Ball deck. I know, they get less and less each time. Hold it up. What's the number?
Okay, it's number 3, which is...
Song number 3 is Where Are You Right Now? Modern Times from Myra Marlowe.
All right.
Yeah, it's pretty good once we get rolling.
Void and the haze and the 6 long days when the dark and the light went separate ways. Dark and light, moon and night, man and woman, wrong and right. And the question came when it all was young. Fork in the road on a serpent's tongue. The question said, do you still want more? Do you want whatever's behind that door? It's always modern times. Always modern times. Every lucky day we fly our rocket to the other side. Don't let go, 'cause there is far to go. Baby, hold on tight. Just keep your hands inside. Came the rain, came the flood. 2 by 2 in a river of mud. 2 by 2 in a sea of love. Ocean covering all that was. And the walls came down, the walls came down. The waters parted and the men would drown. The sinners lost, the good ones saved. The unbelievers all enslaved. It's always modern times. Always modern times. Every magic day we ride. Almost there. stars and the men from Mars. If they never did come, well, they can't be far. Gonna pack our things, place we're told. Top of the world where it still gets cold. And the water runs down, the water runs down. The sea came up where there once were towns. And you can't go back, you don't look back. You never look back. It's always modern times. Always modern times. Every shining day we fly our rocket to the other side. Don't despair. Don't you see we're almost there?
To Victoria Nelson's question, where am I right now? Oh, is everyone just having a syncasm like me? I mean, that applied not only to your question, I think it applied to everyone's question in this room, potentially in the whole world at this very moment. So, Victoria, I'll let you go at it first. What did you get out of that song?
Wow, well, it just I could feel the hair standing up on the back of my neck because almost every line really, really resonated. And things especially like the fork in the path and the rocket to the other side. I feel I'm in the middle of a huge transition in my life. And I guess for my part, it feels more a little happier than perhaps the tenor of the song was. But on the other hand, we all have this history and baggage, and I think that's partly what you were talking about, as the past, and then you go forward, and it's the past and the present and the future are kind of all the same, but. Not the same. I think I said enough.
Well, that's what a great answer from Radio 8 Ball does, is it answers, not only does it answer your question, it's when you ask a question of a divine thing and the divine thing just reveals itself to you and you're like, too much.
Make it stop.
So, Ira, what about you? Give us a little bit of background on that. So, this is a super. I mean, I'm a huge fan of your music, but that, I don't know if it was just the question that made that song stick out. But that was a special one. That's a really special one.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's kind of new.
I love that. I love hearing that.
Still got it.
You do.
I almost would rather let that song speak for itself. I mean, it's just.
Well, give us one little tidbit about your writing of it, the experience of writing it.
I wrote it pretty recently, but I almost don't remember the process. I kind of spit it out. What I will tell you is I had just read an amazing novel by a woman named Jennifer Egan called A Visit from the Goon Squad, which I recommend to everyone. And it starts in the 1979 punk scene in San Francisco and goes off into the future. And it's a bunch of interwoven short stories that are not on the surface related, but then you realize characters soon appear and you realize this is told from the point of view of a peripheral character in another story, and you realize it all sort of weaves together. And this song, just after reading it, just kind of fell out of me. And there's a break in the middle where I just go, and then just stop. And sometimes I stop literally for about 25 seconds. People are like, is it over? And then I start into it. There's a chapter in her book, this chapter takes place in the future, focusing on a kid who has autism And this kid is obsessed with pop songs that have pauses in them. And it lists all these songs.
We should get him in the Sync Book Volume 3.
So I wrote to Jennifer Egan. I sent her an email because it was in the back of the book. It said, you know, write Jennifer Egan, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, this is inspired by Lincoln Adler, the character. And the song was inspired. And she wrote me back right away and said, I'm downloading your song as we speak. Never heard from her since.
I liked her, now I hate her.
Yeah, well,
she paid you a huge compliment.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Speaking as someone who, that was good. You can't ask for more than that.
So, the only part that I would add to that, because I do think it was perfect, was, I think it's what you revealed there, that it is. You're a songwriter I've known for 20 years, probably. And if I didn't know that was a brand new song, I would think, I would just think, oh, that has this sort of classic Ira Marlowe kind of feel, which is a world-weary tone that you bring. And you brought it when you were...
You were world-weary 20 years ago.
Exactly. You were world-weary 20 years ago. And you were singing that kind, you know, just, and it spoke to me, and I think it's the people who have responded to your music over the years, that's what we respond to. And at the same time, there's something that is super, that is hyper present about that because it's a fresh song. I don't know, it's just the quality that you bring as a singer, as a person, who, as a singer and a writer, these voices merging. This sense of, and again, your question is like, where are we right now? Well, where are you right now? But I always personalize it to the we that's here. Yeah. You know, where are we right now? We're at a very special Ira Marlowe concert. And this is someone who has been and meant a lot to me as an artist over, you know, a large part of my life. And to hear, like, it's actually a very encouraging thing to, because, you know, it's easy to feel sorry for artists like Ira or like myself who've been doing it for a long time and are still sometimes have the sense of spinning our wheels. But there are these transcendent moments, and I hope that we all have these, where despite whatever we think we have achieved in the world, where we do something that is just perfect in that moment. And what just happened right now was, you don't know this because you're just meeting this guy, but this was a classic and a perfect Ira Marlowe moment of the writer and the voice coming together with the synchronicity of the song. So, very great.
I want to add to that, because I was really wowed by your set as well. The spinning your wheels part, the rotting in obscurity part.
Yeah, whatever.
I just want to say, those are new songs he played. These are new songs I'm playing mostly. Go listen to a new Paul McCartney album. It's fucking horrible.
Oh, shush. Oh, don't do that.
You don't think so?
I haven't heard the new one, but I like the last one.
Really? So there's something to still being hungry. There's something to, you know, to not going over the top. that really keeps you alive as an artist. And I found myself growing kind of thankful for that. So
I appreciate everything except the Paul hating. But
can I just say one thing? One thing to that.
I've been having this argument for 20 years, too.
I just want to say one thing to that, and to everybody too, who writes or does any kind of art. It's the practice, you know. You have to get that through your head. It's the practice, the daily practice. It's a spiritual practice to be a writer, mm-hmm. or to be a singer, or to be a composer. Everything else, forget about it. You're the luckiest dog in the whole world.
Other than his two dogs,
other than
which
your
are
dogs.
The two luckiest dogs in the world.
No, it's seriously, it's the great.
It's
there. You go. It's the greatest blessing in the world to be a practicing artist, whether you're good, bad, or indifferent, whether anyone has heard of you or not. It's so important to understand that. Anyway, I just want to say that.
Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you.
Give it up for Victoria Nelson. Before you go, you get to pick the next question.
Okay.
But please check out her books. I'm going to now. And we have... So this... we have two more questions. So it's we're down to the binary.
Wild here.
Oh, did I? I didn't mean to. I was just moving it back and forwards. It's still random. I didn't know which one it was. Oh, I'll read it. That's okay. Please give it up for Victoria Nelson. Profound, profound insights. So the next question. Oh, it's a dual question. We're gonna have two people sitting in the red chair. I don't know how it's gonna work with the chair, but we can work with the two people. Colin and Melissa. Colin and Melissa, come on up. No, no, because we're gonna bring up someone to help you. So the two of you are gonna have to figure out. A little bit of lapping.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you're sitting on the microphone.
Lap it. Just go for it. He can handle it. Okay. And we're gonna be joined by a very special Sinkhead. Special in that he contributed to Sync Book 2. He's a great Sync filmmaker and also a guy who helped me out incredibly with Radio 8 Ball at a time when it was direly in need. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Joe Alexander to the stage. Joe, please take the mic for a second. Joe, where can we find your work?
You can find all my work on YouTube at my channel that's under the name BarelyHuman11.
BarelyHuman11.
Yes, sir.
The work we've done with Christopher Lloyd and his sync work has been pretty amazing. And I encourage everyone to check it out. You can also find Joe's work at the syncbook.com in the video page. There's some great stuff there. And I look forward to doing much more work with you. Why don't we get to Colin and Melissa's question? Hand them the mic, Joe, so they can read it. Please hold the mic to your face
yes,
when you.
I will.
Yeah.
I don't have vision for it. I can't remember what I wrote. You can't read it.
What do we need to know now about the journey of our character's will and faith?
Can you tell us a little bit, are you writers? What are your characters' will and faith?
Will and faith are characters that are based on ourselves. We're both artists, musicians, performing artists, and we're on a journey. We have a website called livinginthemovie.com, and it's actually a sync how we got here, because we were just in Portland yesterday. We're living down in the Bay Area, but we were just up in Portland yesterday meeting with Ezra, who has...
Ezra Sanzerbell.
Yes, who has contributed to the Sync Book, and we met him randomly when we were at Paul Levy's house in Portland meeting him, because we wanted to interview him for our website. And
Paul Levy's also
in
the Sync Book.
Oh, okay, Paul Levy's also there. So... when we were there interviewing Paul Levy for our website, and Ezra just happened to be there, we really connected, and Ezra said, "You guys have to go to this event." And so that's why we're here. And then when we drove up, we went outside the car, and Alan was just standing right there. And then it's just, this is the nature of our whole story, is
right.
That once we decided to go on this adventure of awakening ourselves and just letting go basically of our whole life. We have both letting go of all our concepts, everything that we knew to be who we were, and we're going on this adventure. And through this, these two characters...
The breadcrumbs that we follow show up as synchronicities. And so that's our path. That's what we just follow, that, whatever that is.
Yeah, so this is entirely wild.
And then these characters end up, the journey of the characters ends up being our particular journey. And so it's like, it's currently being downloaded. It's the story is being manufactured just through our lives.
Yeah, so this is actually going to be part of the characters' will and faith are layers of metaphors based on
ourselves.
They're architects.
So the question is, what is the next?
What do we need to know now about the journey of our characters, Will and Faith.
Please pick a card, any card. Hold it up so we can all see.
Okay.
What is it?
Number 8.
Number 8, my favorite number. Forever. Forever.
Dreams come true, at least a chosen few, the ones you wanted after all. I hope your head is high, no matter how they try to make you feel so small. I hope you dance each day in some peculiar way, past the others, marching single file. And I hope you live forever. Wanna go? I hope the wind blows from behind all the mighty trees, waving in the breeze to say a sweet hello as you go by. I hope the sky can see the majesty of everything beneath the running wilds. And I hope you live forever. There I know you'll find your answer, whatever it should be. I hope your dreams come true, you know I really do. And when they do, I hope you see. And maybe time will teach us not to hurry, but know each step of every mile. And I hope we live forever.
That was the song Forever from Ira Marlowe. Is that on one of your records? Is that?
It's on the new one coming out soon.
On the new one coming out soon?
Email me and I'll send it to you, the demo.
Not based on the Judy Blum book?
I don't think so.
Okay. That was the answer to Colin and... that's to Will and Faith's Triumph of the Faith and Leap of Will's question. What do we need to know now about the journey of our characters, Will and Faith? Do you want to give us your interpretations, Will and Faith, before we...
Sure.
Yeah. What do you get?
Well, I mean, got a few things out of that. One is it was giving us permission to have a magical journey. Another thing is I thought of is living forever for a while was translating to me. Living forever for a while to me sounded like living in the now. Living in the now. Because, I mean, to live forever for a little while means have forever in the right now. Mm-hmm. That's what that means. Yeah, and then, like I said, giving permission for us to have, for our journey to be magical, mystical. So, yeah, it's perfect.
And what about you, Faith?
It was so perfect, but this is the nature of reality, of what we found on our journey even this far, is that we found that this is the nature, this is real. This is the nature of our world, and we're all in this together. And this is what's so magical about it, is that you're here and we're here, and we're experiencing this magic together, and this is the way that our world can be every day. And that's
right. If we dare to put meaning in those things that we're calling synchronicities, and actually go ahead and give permission to ourselves to put meaning, to see meaning in those things, and then to have the faith and live for that meaning, through those synchronicities, and go ahead and then that's giving permission to have a magical life, you know?
That's awesome. Ira, give us a little bit of background on that song, or how you see it connecting with your question.
I think you sort of nailed it.
What was it for you when you wrote it?
You know, I have a little side career doing kids' music, and I don't have any kids myself, and I just sort of wrote it for parents, for their kids, mm-hmm. you know, about just sort of looking over a child and saying, you know, this is what I want for you. And, you know, and what I kind of like about it is it doesn't say anything specific that a parent should want. You know, it says, I know you'll find it, you know, whatever's right for you. And the whole thing about living forever for a while, I mean, there's no question when you're young, you feel immortal, you know, and it's like a parent saying, I hope you feel that, and I hope you're able to use that power you have, mm-hmm. you know, at that time of your life, and, you know, and really use it as rocket fuel to do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, I really heard you speaking to the part of me that, I mean, you're reflecting. I remember being in, I've a couple of times in my life, I hope everyone has this experience at least once in their life, of being in this magical relationship where you're reflecting the magic to each other in these powerful, profound, you know, to the jaundiced or cynical part of me, you know, maybe naive ways, but it's a naivete that is a kind of genius, that once you don't have it, you wish it for everyone who still does.
Wile E. Coyote walking off the cliff.
Right.
And looking down.
And it's because it's, but better than that. It only looks like that from having landed on the bottom, but while you're still in that moment
yeah.
It's so awesome.
I know. I'm all for not looking down. Yeah. No, exactly.
Yeah. So wait, we have a sync head here to help us out with this interpretation. Now, we've all gone to some interesting places. I'm very curious to hear what Joe Alexander, what you have to share, what you would divine out of that.
Okay, so everything I say with a great deal of humility, because it's pretty ridiculous. But I got a very literal answer to your question with the line that preceded, where you said, there you'll find the answer, and you said, Will be kind, who Will being a character in your story, and in this situation being yourself. So I thought that sort of literally spoke to sort of maybe the masculine tendency to not be kind, and in that sense be destructive in a relationship. So, and I think that's appropriate considering you guys are you know, literally following syncs and almost it seems like following them to a T and taking them word by word. So I liked that you spoke to the answer word by word and even said that's the answer. So and also another thing that I'd like to point out is that you guys are on this journey that's pretty unique in that you're following synchronicities and really giving them meaning, which is what we do in practice as synchromistic artists. And it was interesting that you were directed here to a musical synchromistic oracle by a sync head, Ezra, who happens to envelop his sync studies completely in a musical sense. I'm sure he shared that with you. Yeah. But so Ezra is sort of known in the sync community as sort of like the musical sync head. So it worked out perfect that he sent you here to have your oracle told via music, which I kind of liked.
Yeah, we wish we tried to. We really hoped that Ezra could have been here, but
he sends us love.
Well, but you know what? He's here, so he'll be listening to this. Thank you, Ezra Sanzerbell. Everyone should check out his business at the Labyrinth of the Psychonaut.
Tone Color Alchemy.
That's his real genius contribution to what we're doing. But you can also check it out on Facebook at Labyrinth of the Psychonaut, right?
That's Steve Wilner.
Sorry, that's Steve Wilner's thing. His partner. Okay.
Music Myth Cosmos.
Thank you, Justin. That's great, Joe. Fantastic. Yeah, Very concise. Nailed it. I don't think I can ever do a Radio 8 Ball show again without the help of my trusty sync heads. This has been amazing. So, first of all, give it up for Joe Alexander. Woo! Thank you so much. Watch his films. Particularly his work into Chris Lloyd. It's just like mind-blowing. It's just like drink some coffee, smoke a little something, and go. It's awesome. You will feel like you know the world through the eyes of Jim Ignatowski. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
We only have one more question.
I thought we had two more, because I had two more songs.
I know, but we only have one more question.
Oh,
we're question driven. So the next question is just going to come up here, and it's the last one, so you don't need to pick it. Thank you so much. Give it up for Will and Faith, Amit, a.k.a. Colin and Melissa. So we have one last question. These are going to be, what we're going to do is, hello folks, bring in here. I know there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Hello? Bring it back in here. We have one more question, and it's going to be interpreted by all of the sync heads who have helped out here. They're all going to help out. So, first of all, let's bring up. Can you read? Is that Amy? Amy? Come on up, Amy. So, the other sync heads don't all have to get up on stage. Amy, would you please read your question for the Pop Oracle?
What is essential to being a unicorn?
Say that again.
What is essential to being a unicorn?
I love. We are now beyond the pale. What is essential to being a unicorn? I think that's great. So, would you pick one of the... It's a binary. We're down to the last two cards. What is essential to being a unicorn?
Four.
Song number four. What is essential? Cement shoes are essential to being a unicorn. So that's going to be the song from Ira Marlowe.
Love is just a mobster. Cupid dressed in a great big suit with wide lapels. You should get an honest job, sir. I can't make another pass at her. I can't take another massacre. Throw me out my cement shoes. Make them wingtips so I can't lose. Teach me to dance the way those fallen angels do. Short and smooth, nothing to prove. Just pour me out my cement wingtip shoes. Oh, love has led me on so. Thought I found the partner for my perfect crime. She belongs to some guy named Alfonso. It's all so sad, it's such a waste. Open up that violin case, pour me out my cement shoes. Make them wingtips so I can't lose. Fly me away to heaven where there ain't no blues. Just wingtip shoes. so underrated. Could be so underrated. Oh, pour me out my cement shoes. Make them wingtips, cause I don't wanna lose. There will be laughter in the hereafter. Broads and booze. So come on, Mr. Paul Mamma.
What record is that from?
That's on the new one. Not out yet.
Then we're looking forward to this new record. So, and what about, what did you think about that as the answer to your question? Which was,
what is essential to being a unicorn?
Essential to being a unicorn.
Well, I think of, I'm wearing my dancing shoes right now, and they could be considered wingtips because they allow me to fly when I'm dancing. And last night I went out dancing as a unicorn and I massacred the men that came up and tried to hit on me. And I don't have anything to prove, between self and self-image, radiating just my most authentic self. Is being in line with the unicorn. And cement shoes, try as I might to be a unicorn in all moments, my ego comes through and my shadow comes through, and delving into that, into the depths of my shadow with the radiation of my unicorn nature, which I think of when you say cement shoes, I think of semen.
I was going there too. Oh, you got my thing.
Which is like life force.
It's the essence, right?
Yeah.
And I hate stepping in.
Libidinal energy. And then I think of Melancholia also with the cement shoes as she's getting dragged with the roots of the tree.
You know what? I'm afraid that you're going to take all of everyone's sinks, and we want to make each of the sink heads come in here. So that's some profound and potent
shit.
It's not shit. It's semen. It's profound and potent. It's potent semen. It's the opposite. But Ira, before we bring in our rogues gallery of sink heads to give their quick sink take on it, you wrote the song.
I did.
Do you have any relationship with unicorns?
My glib response is, cement shoes, it's about death. It's about actually sort of courting the next world, because this one has just let you down. So unicorns are perhaps in the next world, and, you move on.
Die to the fantasy, in a way?
What's that?
You have to die to the ego so that you can enter the next world, the fantastical world.
Yes.
Anyway. Okay, so we've had great contributions from each of our sink heads, and we are sort of under the gun as far as time and legality here. So what I'd like to do is invite each of you, and we have a new...
We can go longer if we just turn the PA off.
Oh, okay, but I want everybody to just be able to get their quick thing onto the mics while we're recording. So what we're going to do is go backwards from where we started. And we're going to start with a sink head who's arrived, who would have been on stage, but we have to wrap it. But Justin Gray Morgan, who has created the art for, I think, every sink book that's come out so far, the cover art. And he's a local guy who's doing his own interesting sink work. Justin, would you step up and give your brief interpretation of what is essential about being a unicorn?
Well, I think there were some interesting things. There's kind of a duality of a cement shoe bringing you down. And I think if you're going to be magical and have your heads in the clouds, that you got to kind of keep your feet on the ground on some level. But then there was also the idea of the wingtip, that you're not just stuck to the earth. The wingtip kind of hints at being able to fly. Then to further the cement shoes thing a little bit, it's kind of that you drown like in emotion a little bit. You know, if you're sent to the bottom of the ocean, water has a very kind of emotional context. And I also kind of think of the unicorn almost, there was mention of Cupid's arrow or Cupid, you know, and I could almost make the equivalent of the unicorn kind of wounding you with the horn almost in the same way that the arrow did, like in a kind of emotional way. And I think through that wounding of the arrow or through the unicorn's horn, then that's where the love or stuff comes through. So that's my quick take.
That's great. Thank you, Justin. Let's have Joe Alexander come up and give his quick take.
So I just liked that the song had so much wingtip shoes in it, because I immediately, when I think of a unicorn, I always think of this third eye where the horn is projected from. And I like to think of, you know, the wingtip shoes as being a really classic archetype for gods with wings on their feet. And so it just seems to fit perfectly that they're a deity, and you know, the deity with the connection with the universe through the third eye. So that's all.
That's great. Cool. Then Jeremy. No, David. David Plate.
Oh, geez.
Oh, geez?
This is my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking about your tattoo. So she has a tattoo of a rainbow skeleton, skull and crossbones. And I was thinking about that moments before you had made the comment that it's about death. And the whole, the day that I met Amy, she showed me her tattoo and she expressed what it meant, which is,
you have to have acceptance of death with an equal infusion of love. There's hearts for eyes on the skeleton.
And she communicated to me that this is the essence of the philosophy, the unicorn philosophy. And so, In that sense, it feels very applicable. Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good place, because we want to leave it for everyone else. So.
Gotcha.
David, thank you. Next up, Jeremy. And of course, you know, we're going to post this, so if you have more interpretations, I know it will be, there'll be a thread a mile long about this interpretation. But Jeremy.
I was more thinking again of the cement shoes being the mafia, you know, killing people in the...
And where did that connect to your to your film iconography?
Well,
and in terms of particularly its relationship to unicorns.
I was thinking more of the watery, the unconscious. We were talking about the Stygian port earlier, my name, and how water and the dreams has to do with the unconscious. And you have a horse, and there's a lot of things going on in my mind, but it was going to the female horse is a mare, and that means sea. And Poseidon was the god of Atlantis, and his animal is the horse, and there's all this tie-in with female energy, sort of the unconscious current that you need to tap into. Well, you're a female, so I guess it helps that the symbolism's there, right? You know, to be a true unicorn, you have to really tap into something deeper, more unconscious, and, you know, not surface-level material kind of stuff. But I think that's the important part of being a unicorn.
That's great. Finally, Alan Abadesa Green, the man who brought us all together, made us the usual suspects.
Well, if we're going to go with movie references, I couldn't help but think of The Last Unicorn, where all the unicorns are basically trapped in the ocean, which, if you were wearing cement shoes, is so that someone can drown you, and in The Last Unicorn, they're kind of trapped in the ocean.
So Rosemary
means something
dew
of the sea,
and it's played by Mia Farrow in The Last Unicorn.
That's not where I was going with this, but anyway. So
they're co-hosts together, so yeah. They do this all the time.
but the unicorns are trapped there, but what are they being held back by? But you know, the what is it? The Red Bull. The and this is like, you know, their fear was keeping.
And what
them.
Does Red Bull do?
Gives you wings.
Yes,
very nice, very nice. But the other thing, so that you could take it from that side, that, you know, the cement shoes could be holding you in the ocean, but there is, of course, the positive aspect of being in the ocean, which I couldn't help but think of the very classic Jake Kotzian expression, sink, don't swim, the S-Y-N-C version, that if you're in the waters of the unconscious, you're not supposed to struggle and fight, but to let it come over you. And so wearing cement shoes would allow you to just sink into and surrender to the experience, which I assume is what you'd have to do to either dance or to fully express your true self. So.
Yeah, Alan!
Taking it all the way home. Okay, well, thank you, Alan. Thank you, Amy, for your question. I hope that you got something out of this.
I have to say one thing.
I'll give you boyfriend privilege for one second.
If you look at that tombstone right there, you'll see a skull and crossbones with wings.
Yeah.
Just saying.
That's to leave it to a sinkhead to find the reality here in the moment. Ira, you left the stage, but you got to come up here to get your applause because we have to give it. We have to really honor you. Not only thank you, first of all, give it up for Amy, the unicorn, but Ira. Not only is Ira obviously an amazing musician and someone who I encourage you to all check out all of his records and to become a fan and to someone who follows his music because because it'll be good for you and also good for you, but mostly it'll be good for you. But also he's created this space, and creating sacred space is something that I am a huge fan of. As much as I am a fan of music, I'm a fan of people who then take that artistic impulse and create a sacred space for other people to create art in. And that's what I'd like to honor you for tonight, Ira. Thank you so much. Really, give it up for him, please. Yes, give him the love.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful guy.
I met this guy at the Alan Monkey Cafe like 20 years ago. And I heard him play two songs. One was about a duel between Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr. How many people write songs about duels? And the other was about Sojourner Truth, a 6-foot-tall black woman, it's a lyric right from the song, who gets up and basically puts it to a whole crowd of segregationists and slave owners. It was just an amazing song, an amazing story. And he's an amazing guy, and I'm honored that he came up. And down, up, where are you these days?
Down.
Okay.
Yeah. I came down to see
and put together this wonderful night. I thank you all, and I'm sure
thank you very much. So, thank you all for being a part of this, and I always end the show this way. I just like to thank you all, and until next time, I'd like to wish you lots of spine-tingling synchronicities, connections with the natural world, and all the inspiration you can handle. Good night.